What passage will you preach this harvest? Will you turn to the words of the psalmist that maybe we touched on earlier? The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, Psalm 65. Or the Gospels, a farmer went out to sow the seed. Or the word of the Apostle Paul, Galatians, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps whatsoever he sows. Well, I'm not turning to any of those this morning, but I am turning under God, and it was on my heart to turn to this passage in Revelation chapter 14. In a sense, if you want a text, it's verse 15, where it says this, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It's that time of the year. We think of the harvest, and we think of the gathering in of the harvest. And as we've said, we're very, very thankful. Maybe you don't want to think this time last year, it was a different kettle of fish, and we were, and you were, struggling with the weather. And this year we're just thankful. And maybe you're saying, well, don't say too much. Don't say too much. Well, I understand. There's still harvest to gather in, and we're very grateful, and we pray that it will be gathered in. And this morning, as we think of those things, I turn your attention to this other harvest of which the Word of God speaks. I wonder when you think of I don't know if a year ago or so, whenever we were preaching on this passage, that you thought much of the book of Revelation. Some people find the book of Revelation, strange as it may seem, a little bit frightening. Some people just don't go there. And yet the book of Revelation is a wonderful, wonderful book. And that piece that the choir sang just now, behold your God seated on the throne, ties in wonderfully with the book of Revelation, because the summary of the book of Revelation is that the Lamb wins. If you want a summary in three words of the book of Revelation, the Lamb wins. It is a wonderful piece of inspired biblical literature that describe sometimes in fantastic language the wonderful truth that in the midst of the ups and downs and the joys and sorrows of this world, that the Lamb wins. And so basically what I want to do this morning, thinking about this text in Revelation chapter 14, many ways that's the heading, Harvest is Coming. Now here we are at a harvest service. And the harvest, in the sense of the harvest of the land, has come. And some of you, men and women, are in the midst of gathering that harvest in. But there's essentially three things. Why is there always three things with a Presbyterian minister? I'm not quite sure. But there's three key things that I want to just draw to your attention from this passage this morning as we think of the coming harvest. And the first one is very simply, be wise. Be wise. Now, if I was to ask you, what does a wise person do? One of the things that a wise person does is to listen. Sometimes we're not very good at that. Sometimes we're very good at talking, but we're not very good at listening. And the Lord has given us one of these and two of these, maybe to remind us that we need to redouble our efforts to listen. And I'm sure, men, I know what it's like from years ago. One of the things that you do often listen to, maybe you'll be telling me after, no, we don't bother listening to that, is the weather. When you're working on the land, you listen to the weather, and you listen to hear what's going to be happening. But this passage is basically saying, in a number of ways, I want you to be wise, and I want you to listen. I want you to listen. I wonder, are we listening this morning? Again, there are basically three messages here, and I'm not going to complicate the thing, but I just want to draw out to you what these messages are. The first message, you can see it there, spoken about in verse 6. He had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live upon the earth. And what is that gospel? Verse 7, fear God and give him the glory. So I wonder, are you listening this morning? It's a wise thing to listen. What does the word say to us? It says to fear God and give him the glory. Give him the glory. Men, as you gather in the potatoes, as you gather in the harvest, do you give God the glory? Sometimes we forget to do that. Don't leave it too late to give God the glory. The famous preacher C.H. Spurgeon sometimes used to describe it in this way. He used to speak about people that he knew who decided, you know what, I will listen to the gospel, and at the 11th hour, I will make my decision to live for God. And they die at 10:30. Now, that's a very sobering thing to say. That's what the preacher used to say, and that's what I'm saying this morning. Sometimes people are full of the best intentions. Yes, you know, I will listen. I really will, preacher. But it never comes. One of the messages that goes out here, and I'm really not for spending much time on this, verse 8 and 9, he speaks. It's the first mention of Babylon in the book of Revelation. For first century Christians, Babylon was the whole Roman Empire, and the wickedness and the corruption and the bloodiness of that empire was absolutely dreadful. And you know what they did to the Christians? They literally fed them to the lions. But Babylon is much more than just the Roman Empire. Babylon, if you like, is a representation of all systems in every generation that stand against God, that stand against the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the word says that they will fall. They will crumble. And they will fall. And there's another message that comes out here that we need to listen to. And folks, I do want you to listen to this. And this is actually a very solemn message. And it's contained in verses 9 and 10 and 11. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury. There is here a picture, a sobering and a disturbing and a startling, but nonetheless real picture of hell. Now, the modern idea is to dispense with hell altogether. I remember the story of a true story of something that happened with a minister of a bygone age. Famous Scottish preacher, the Reverend Alexander Fraser. And a young fellow came back to the area. He had spent a year at college and came back, you might say, knowing everything that was to be known. And he said to his minister, the Reverend Alexander Fraser, he said, "Mr. Fraser, surely you don't believe that a God of love would send me to hell?" "No, I do not," said Mr. Fraser, "but you might get there in spite of him. You might get there in spite of him." And folks, there is a profound message there. And sometimes people say in this day and age, "Oh, how could a good God send anyone to hell?" A good God does not send one person to hell. People choose their eternal destiny. And it was C.S. Lewis who famously said that there are two types of people in this world. There is the person who comes to surrender and bow the knee and says to God, God, thy will be done. And there is the kind of person who refuses to bow the knee to Jesus, and God on the eternal day says, your will be done. And folks, that is the way to look at these things. And the idea that God is some ogre in heaven sending people into hell is a lie from hell itself. And it's a distortion of the truth. The truth about a good and a gracious God who took upon himself in Jesus the awfulness of hell that we might be saved. Do you see that, folks? It's really important that we see that in these days in which we live. All who go to hell choose to go. Folks, that's a very solemn thing for a preacher to say. And the people today in the kingdom of Mourn who are at this moment lying in their beds, who have no interest whatsoever in the gospel and come up with all sorts of excuses about why they won't go to church and they're on the road to hell. They choose that. That is their choice. And we say today, be wise. Listen. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the earnest pleading of the preacher to turn. And be ready. We'll come back to that. And so this morning, harvest is coming. So be wise, be wise. But there's another note picked on here. And it's really, if you like, for others, it's a wee word to be patient. Verse 12, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, and they will rest from their labor. There's a real contrast here, actually. From the cry, if you like, to be wise and to listen and to come to the gospel and to respond to the gospel. There's a word here for those who are seeking to live for that gospel, and maybe they're under pressure. You're maybe here this morning and you're under pressure. Maybe for 101 different reasons. Maybe stuff not quite going right at home or in your business or in some other avenue of your life, and virtually nobody knows about it, but you're kind of at the end of your tether. And the Lord says, be patient and endure. And blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. You know, folks, there are two ways that a person can die. You can die in your sins and go to hell. Or you can die in the Lord and go to heaven. And I say to you today, make sure you die in the Lord. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So, brother and sister in Christ, I want to encourage you today in the midst of the struggles that you may be facing, and they may be very, very real. I want to try and encourage you today to lean hard upon the Lord, to lean hard upon his grace and his strength and his help. And by his grace, you will get through. So be patient. But there's another word here, and that's to be ready. That section, and I'm not going into a whole lot of depth here, but I am faithfully bringing you what it's saying. Verses 14 to 20, picture one like a son of man. An image that is picked up from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. An image that speaks about the Lord Jesus. And it's a picture of harvest. It's a picture of the final harvest. It's a picture of Judgment Day. And there are allusions here to various parts of the Old Testament, Isaiah 63, Joel chapter 3. And it reminds us also of the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, the story that he told about the wheat and the tares, and how at the end there would be a separation. Now again, the language that's used here is typical of Revelation. It's a kind of, if you're interested in pursuing it, it's a kind of an apocalyptic language, but that's neither here nor there. It's a kind of a fantastic language, pictorial language, but nonetheless real. And it speaks here about the grain harvest, verses 15 to 16, which refers to the gathering in of the saints. And it speaks about the grape harvest, verses 18 to 19, which speaks about the gathering in and the judgment of unbelievers. The basic picture is very clear. It's a picture of a day of accounting. Judgment Day. And the very basic lesson that this brings to us this morning, folks, and I don't know whether you're here, and maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an older person, and you say, you know, I still find it hard to really take in that this is going to happen. Well, you need to think about that. But the testimony of the Word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus, the most perfect, the most kind, the most gracious person who ever walked in this planet, was a testimony that warned people that there was one of two places that we could end up and that there would be a judgment day. And the basic lesson that I leave with you this morning is that you need, and I need, we all need, to be ready. I remember a preacher. And he had preached, and somebody came, and they were really quite concerned about things. And they basically said to the preacher something like this, you know, for all of my life, I have really walked away from God. I've done stuff that I don't even want to talk about. And I feel that I've almost burnt my bridges. Is it too late for me? I'm coming towards the end of my life. Is it too late for me? And the preacher said, no, it's not too late for you. This is still the day of grace. This is still the day when a man or a woman can come and genuinely repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can be saved and ready for heaven. We're still in the day of grace, folks. And folks, we are still in the day of grace. And today, if you hear his voice, and I believe that there are people here today who hear his voice, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And as I often say, and I maybe deliberately say this, try not to worry too much at this moment about what such and such a person is going to think if they hear that you have given your life to the Lord. At the end of the day, what odds what they think? They're not God. They will have to stand account as well. They will have to stand. The important thing at this moment is you and God. And the words of the Lord Jesus, so you must be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. You must be ready. You must be ready. And today, God speaks. And I'm just, as I close this message, and I know it's a pretty straight message. Time for straight talking is here and now. And be wise. Be wise. Listen. Listen. Farmers, don't just listen to the forecast. Listen to that as well. But listen to what the preacher's saying. Because the preacher is simply passing on to you what the Word of God is saying. It's not Stephen Johnson's idea. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of the Lord Jesus. Be wise, men and women. Be ready. And praise God today we can be ready as we come and embrace the Lord Jesus. That simple little prayer that I have repeated recently, and I say it without simplifying or trivializing the gospel. When a man or a woman or a young person comes to Jesus and says, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today, come into stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. When they truly, truly mean that, then something begins to happen. So be wise today. Be patient. And be ready. May God help us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the harvest is coming, and harvest day is coming. Lord, may we all be wise, and may we all be ready for that day, so that we will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord God, forbid that any person in this building today would hear those dreadful words, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, Lord, deliver us from that. Give us grace. Give us faith. And give us love for Christ. We ask in his name. Amen.